Arms. promises of fortune.
The promises of fortune.
Spada.
Spada.
Containing. Shriya.
Shriya.
Whose beauty.
Whose beauty.
Parivrata.
Parivrata.
Encircled.
Encircled.
Vanamalaya.
Vanamalaya.
By flower garland.
By flower garland.
Adhya.
Adhya.
The original personality of Godhead.
The original personality of Godhead.
Varishmata.
Varishmata.
Of King Prachinavani.
Of King Prachinavani.
Purushata.
Purushata.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Aha.
Aha.
Address.
Address.
Sutam.
Sutam.
The sons.
The sons.
Prapannam.
Prapannam.
Surrender.
Surrender.
Parajanya.
Parajanya.
Like a cloud.
Like a cloud.
Nara.
Nara.
Usam.
Usam.
Rutaya.
Rutaya.
By a voice.
By a voice.
Sadrina.
Sadrina.
With mercy.
With mercy.
Our Loka.
Our Loka.
His glance.
His glance.
Translation by Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Around the neck of the personality of Godhead hung a flower garland that reached to his knees. His eight stout and elongated arms were decorated with a garland which challenged the beauty of the goddesses of fortune. With a merciful glance and a voice like thunder, the Lord addressed the sons of King Prachinavani, Varishad, who were very much interested, surrendered unto him. The word Adhya in this verse is very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin even of Paramatma and Brahma. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratisthaham, the absolute truth begins not with the impersonal Brahma, but with the original personality of Godhead Krishna. When Arjuna realized Krishna's greatness, he addressed him in this way. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Devyam, Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahma, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purified, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. The Brahma Samhita also says, Anadiradi Govinda, Sarva Karana Karana. The Supreme Lord is not caused by anything, Anadi, but He is the cause of all causes. The Vedanta Sutra says, Janmadi Asayata. The Absolute Truth is that from which everything emanates. The Absolute Truth is described as Adi Purusha. The Absolute Truth is therefore a person and is not impersonal. Om Jnana Nirandrasya Jnana Jnana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manohistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sanatanara Gunakanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanathaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sanatanarita Sri Vishakamitascha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangam Nandai Tegirim Yatrupatam Aham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Pangam Nandai Tesainam Avartaye Sutim Yatrupatam Aham Vande Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man recite Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Madam Padambocha Madhupetya Namo Namaha Katanchit asayadesham swapitat dhandapha bhave. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances onto the beeline devotees who always taste the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. If even a dogish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. He Krishna Karna Sandhu Dina Mandole Yatpate Gopesha Gopika Kandana Kandana Nosate Raptakanchana Gaurangina Devanda Maheshwari Vrushamana Sate Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataro Dasya Kutha Sandhu Khyai Vacha Pratitana Pavane Kyo Vaishnave Kyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Sataya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation: around the neck of the personality of Godhead hung a flower garland that reached to his knees. His eight stout and elongated arms were decorated with that garland, which challenged the beauty of the goddess of fortune. With a merciful glance and a voice like thunder, the Lord addressed the sons of King Prachinabad Barishal, who were very much surrendered unto him. So the discussion here, Prabhupada is bringing out the fact that Adhya, that the Lord is a personality. And this is the traditional discussion we have in Vedic literature, that whether the Lord is a person or the Lord is impersonal. Impersonal also is a form. It's an impersonal form. So that is also a form. But that's a form without any qualities, where the Lord, the person, is qualities, or he's having the energy also with him, energy is potent. Whereas in the typical impersonal form, there are no energies associated with it, so therefore it is without any qualities. And since in that form there are no qualities, you can't relate to that form. And if you can't relate to that form, you cannot serve him. And Srimad Bhagavatam says that the Lord can be realized in three different aspects. That the impersonal form, the Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So in three different aspects one can realize the Lord. And the realization of the Brahman or the impersonal form is considered to be the incomplete realization of the Supreme Lord. As Prabhupada in his discussion said that the Lord the Absolute Truth begins not with the impersonal Brahma, but with the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. When Arjuna realized Krishna's greatness, he addressed him in this way, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. So therefore, Krishna is the basis for both the impersonal and the Paramatma form. So it's not that from the impersonal that the personality comes. This is the typical parallel discussions we have, especially if you are coming from South India. You find that the predominant is divided into these two aspects, whether the Lord is a person, has had the personality, or the Lord is having the impersonal form. And therefore, there have been lengthy arguments on this aspect. And the school of thought which talks about the impersonal form is the Shankara school, where they say that the Lord has no form, no qualities, whereas the Vaishnava philosophers, they say that here the Lord has a form, Lord has a personality. And there are so many verses throughout Vedic literature which, if it is not heard in from a devotee, you tend to get confused whether the Lord is having a form or the Lord doesn't have a form. We can see this even in scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was considered at that time, he was compared to a Brahaspati. So which means that he had such a scholarship, he knew everything about the Vedic literature, but yet his understanding of the Lord was impersonal. He never thought that the Absolute Truth can be a personality. But how did he realize that the Lord is a person or has a personality? That's the discussion we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, between 6th chapter, between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya himself. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Puri temple to have darshan, the moment he sees Lord Jagannath, he swoons into ecstasy and then he loses his external consciousness. And at the time when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and looking at the beautiful effulgent body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, here is some extraordinary personality, but then he has become unconscious from an external perspective. But when he looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a closer distance, he could see the expanded symptoms of an eternal devotee. It is not, is it a nitya siddha? It is not an ordinary person, but someone who is displaying those extraordinary symptoms which can't be displayed by any ordinary mortal. So he was trying to protect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because others were felt that what is happening here, and in that way, then he takes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, and then he waits till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wakes up. He was anxious whether what's happening to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He takes a small cotton swab and places near the nose of the Lord, and then when there's a slight movement in the cotton swab, then that gives him, that releases anxiety to an extent that yes, the Lord of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still awake, or is conscious. It's not that he left. And then he wakes up later on. Govindacharya, his brother-in-law, he comes there in search of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he comes to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And there the discussion takes place between initially between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Govindacharya. Sorry, Gopinathacharya. Gopinathacharya tends to tell Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that he is the Lord himself. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he does not. Although he was such a deep Vedic scholar, he could not appreciate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in or is himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Chaitanya, Sarva Bhattacharya asks him, what is the proof that he is the Supreme Lord? Then he says that, look, you have seen the Lord in that ecstasy which an ordinary person can never show that. So those ecstatic symptoms reveals that he is the Supreme Lord. But yet, Sarva Bhattacharya was not convinced that he is the Supreme Lord. And the discussion, so there we find that disciples of Sarva Bhattacharya retaliated, but what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord? Then Gopinath Acharya replied, the statements of the authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Person Godhead are the proof. So therefore here we find Arjuna making that statement, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. So such as Brahma, Naga, Vyasa, Deva, Asita, Arjuna, they are making the statement, they are the authorized persons, and that's good enough proof to say that he is the Supreme Lord. But the disciple Bhattacharya say that we derive knowledge through truth by logical hypothesis. Then Gopinath Acharya replied, one cannot attain real knowledge supreme when Godhead by such hypothetical logical hypothesis and argument. So sometimes the Mayavadi philosophers may answer Lord Krishna, Lord Ram and Bhagavan, but they think that the Lord is having a material body. They do not understand that the Lord has a spiritual body, Krishna has a spiritual body. They think that Krishna is a great personality, but a human being with there is some supreme impersonal power. Therefore, they conclude that finally the Lord is an impersonal Brahma. So they do not understand the statement that the Lord has the efforts and has the bodiness of Krishna, yasya prabha prabhava jagat anda koti koti shasesha vasudhati vibhuti dhinnam tad dhamma nishkalam anantam asesha bhutam govinda mali purusham tamaham vajami. I serve the Supreme Person God Govinda, the Primeval Lord, the effulgence of whose transcendental body is known as Brahmajyoti. That Brahmajyoti is unlimited, unfathomed, all-pervasive, with the cause of the creation, unlimited members of planets, with the varieties of climates and specific conditions. So therefore, they do not understand that the last stage of realization of the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person of Godhead. They accept that there is a creator of cosmic manifestation, but that is through hypothesis. So we know that from Vedic literature there are ways of receiving knowledge, that the Pratyaksha, the Anuman, Shabda, and they go by the Anuman process. But in order to understand the Lord, that is not sufficient. We need to go by process of shanta, that we should hear from an authorized source. So that's what we find Gopinath Acharya is saying, that we should hear. So Gopinath replied, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord by just guesswork. You should hear. As Krishna says in Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samadita moonoyam nabhijanati lokama adam avyayam. I am never manifest the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency. And so the deluded world knows me not, I am unborn and infallible. So therefore,
Krishna, as the Supreme Lord,
reserves the right of not being exposed to non-devotees. He can be understood only by the bona fide devotees. And elsewhere also, Krishna says, verse 18.55, that he can be known only by bhaktyamam abhijananti. It's only through the devotional service that one can understand the Supreme Lord. And Krishna also says in 4.3 Bhagavad Gita that bhaktosi sakhi cheti rahasyam hi eta uttamam, that only a devotee can know me.
So the conclusion is that we can understand the Supreme Person of Godhead only from the devotees.
Because bhakti manifests through the medium of a devotee.
Without the devotee transmitting that bhav, that understanding, no matter how scholarship a person may display, will not be able to understand that the Lord is a personality.
So therefore, Krishna Mahachaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Guru Krishna Prasade Vai Bhakti Ratna Beach. So only by the mercy of the Lord that one can understand. That's what Gopinatha continues. One must have the Lord's mercy in order to understand the Supreme Person of Godhead. And even if one receives a tiny bit of Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of Supreme Person of Godhead. So we have that famous example where Banaras Hindu University Vice Chancellor, he comes to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had so many questions in his mind. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said to them, I'm just a bit busy, go and do some service. Please talk to my disciples. And then when he goes to talk to the disciples are engaged in some pot service. And they said that, okay, you also help me. You help us in washing those pots. And the person engages in washing the pots. After finishing, he comes back and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur asks him, tell me what's your question. He says, no, all my questions have been answered. Therefore, what it tells us is that unless we engage in the service of the Lord, we will not be able to understand the power of the Lord. And then the one with, so therefore, it's also said to my Lord, if one is favored even by a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. So all this what is trying to say is that Vedic literature is so rich and so vast that there are so many verses which can tell you that the Lord has no form, but equally there are so many verses which tells you that the Lord is a person, is a personality. And that feature of the Lord, that the Lord is a person and everything emanates from the Lord, can be known, can be realized only with the association of devotees. Because the devotee in his heart has the Lord, and therefore that manifests from him. So finally, the discussion, it goes to and fro between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinath. And then later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has a discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya feels that I should teach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the Vedic understanding. He is too sentimental, and so therefore I'll teach him the Brahma Sutra, the Kamala Vedanta Sutra, and in that he engages him for 7 days continuously. He teaches him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not say even a word. He just listens to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and at the end of 7 days Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wonders, have you heard, have
you understood what I said? And Chaitanya said that, yes, I have listened to you. I understand what the Brahma Sutras say, but I do not understand what you are trying to say. Because you are giving all twisted meaning for the sutras, which are self-effulgent, which reveal themselves. It doesn't require any interpretation. But then you are giving an interpretation which is against what has been mentioned in the sutra itself. So this is what I am not able to understand. And then another particular verse, which is the Atmaram verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can you please talk, give us the understanding on this verse? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, first you give me your understanding. And then, because he's a prolific scholar, Sarva Bhattacharya gives 9 different ways the interpretation of the particular verse. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears him, then on the request of Sarva Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his interpretation, and then he gives it 18 different ways apart from the 9 ways in which Sarva Bhattacharya has given, and totally taking him on the path of the personality of the Lord. And when he hears that, Sarva Bhattacharya realizes that it can't be but a Supreme Lord who can explain that Atmaram verse in so many different ways with so much of depth. And then he falls at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals himself to Sarva Bhattacharya. So what it means that unless the Lord reveals himself, or unless the Lord showers his mercy, a person cannot realize that the Lord is the personality, the absolute truth, is from whom everything emanates. And Lord's mercy follows the mercy of a devotee. We should remember, Lord's mercy follows the mercy of a devotee. So wherever the devotee showers his mercy, Lord's mercy flows. This is what Nectar of Devotion says. And where a devotee showers his mercy, we know. This we find in Nityananda Prabhu. He showers his mercy on Jagannandai. Why he did that here? We can't say, there's no reason. He has given his mercy. So similarly, devotees go on Harinam, they give their association, they give their mercy. When they go, why they go, the recipient does not know. It's a mercy of the devotees. So there is a wonderful statement I've heard in ISKCON, that on a river of karma, the flash of mercy, where it strikes, no one knows. I don't know if anyone has heard this statement. On the river of karma, the flash mercy strikes, but where it strikes, no one knows. So where does the mercy of a devotee shower, no one knows. But that follows the Lord's mercy. So we equally have the debate, a well-known debate between Sripad Ramacharya and Yajnamurti. If anyone has heard that debate, Yajnamurti was a well-known scholar of his time, just as Sarva Bhattacharya was a well-known scholar around 550 years, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on this planet. Similarly, Yajnamurti was a famous scholar when Sripad Ramacharya was on this planet. So Ramacharya appeared, I think, sometime in 1017 CE or AD. So more than 1,000 years back. So last year, I think, they celebrated 1,000 years of Sripad Ramacharya's appearance worldwide. In Hyderabad, they erected the statue
of Sripad Ramacharya, I think it is about 120 feet. Huge statue. It was still under construction when I visited there. It was outskirts of Hyderabad. So this Yajnavalkya was a prolific scholar once again, and wherever he would go, he would challenge the person and then defeat him. And then in those days the debate was that, okay, if you win, then I surrender myself to you along with my disciples. And if I win, then you should surrender yourself to me along with your disciples. So that used to be the bet. And Yajnavalkya was told that there's no point in discussing with any ordinary person. You better go and challenge Sripada Ramacharya. Then Yajnavalkya comes to the place where Sripada Ramacharya was. I think at that time he was in Sri Lanka. And they set the goal that we'll argue for 18 days. And at the end of the 18th day, the victor will be declared. And for 16 days, they had intense argument between the impersonal form of the Lord supported by Yajnavalkya and the personal form of the Lord supported by Sripada Ramacharya. So one can imagine how many verses each one must have quoted with cross references for 16 days. And no one was winning. So many verses are given in that very literature about the Lord's personal versus impersonal form. And on 17th day, when the discussion took place, the Bhalla moved in favor of Yajnavalkya, not in favor of Sripada Ramacharya. So which means that he was about to declare that the Lord is impersonal. And Sripada Ramacharya became so sad. He did not know what to do. He went home and he cried in front of the Lord that if I lose this debate with Yajnavalkya, it's not a defeat to me, but it's a defeat to you, that I will not be able to glorify your personality. So you need to do something, you need to help me, without which I cannot win this debate. And Lord appears to Sripada Ramacharya in a dream and says that you quote the verses given by Yamunacharya and that will defeat Yajnavalkya. So on 18th day, Yajnavalkya comes to, because he saw that on 17th day Sripada Ramacharya almost lost the debate. So therefore, the victory, he could see the sign of victory in front of him. But the way Sripada Ramacharya walked to the place, that really scared him. Because he was walking like a lion, with majesty. And because he had a confidence that there is a weapon, now he can defeat Yajnavalkya. And the moment he saw Sripada Ramacharya's gait and the majestic way of walking, Yajnavalkya lost. He did not even think that he should debate with Sripada Ramacharya, and he surrendered. Even without further debate, he left it. He said, I've lost the debate, I'm sorry, so therefore I accept you, your version that the Lord is the personality. So what does it mean? That it means that it's not so easy for a person come to the conclusion that the Lord is a person unless a devotee can shower his mercy. We also have similar explanations given, or the debate which took place between Sripada Ramacharya and his own spiritual master. I think all of you know his spiritual master was
Yago Prakash. Because we find that there also Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was trying to give twisted meaning to the Vedic verses. Similarly, here also Yago Prakash was trying to give twisted meanings to the Vedic verses. For example, the typical verse in Taittiriya Upanishad, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Dhamma. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. That the Brahma is Satyam, it is pure existence. That Jnanam is consciousness or chit. And Anantam is infinite. So, Yadav Prakash, he was saying that these attributes cannot coexist in Brahma. Just as he gives an example that a broken horn and a full horn and a no horn cannot exist at the same time in a cow. All the aspects cannot exist at the same time. Then, at that time, Sripad Ramanujacharya was his disciple, Yadav Prakash's disciple. But Sripad Ramanujacharya said that, well, that is why I am, in a humble way, he said that why I am giving a meaning which is not there in the statement. Statement says that Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. What is the confusion there? Why the statement does not say that Brahma is not Satyam, Brahma is not Jnana, is not yours. It is simply saying that Satyam, Jnana, Anantam is Brahma. So why are you using that not and giving entirely an opposite meaning? He says that it is not the example you have given that the broken horn, the no horn, or the complete horn cannot at the same time. It's like a flower. A flower can have the color, it can have the smell, it can have the form, the shape, all attributes can exist at the same time. This is what has been expressed in this particular verse. Because Brahma is Satyam. Satyam means truth. Truth means that it exists always. It's not that it exists sometimes, it does not exist sometimes. It exists always, that is the truth. And Brahma is knowledge. Knowledge means spirit or its life. Why? It because knowledge means thought. Thought means intelligence. Intelligence means sensitiveness. Because the thought cannot come from inanimate matter. So someone who is having intelligence, it means it's having life. So therefore, so that is what is how the law has been explained. Then Brahma is infinity. And it means that without any limitations, without any conditions. And this is what is this particular verse is saying. And Yadav Prakash, he looks at Sripad Ramanujacharya and feels that this person is a threat to him. Because he is giving in a particular thought process a punishment of Vedic literature, and Sripad Ramanujacharya is saying something else, quoting opposite to what he is saying. And the breakthrough comes, or the difference of opinion comes through on a particular verse, which is once again from Chandogya Upanishad. This is the verse, I just quoted the first line. Tasya yata kapyasam pundarikam eva kshini. Now this verse, that tasya yata kapyasam pundarikam eva kshini, Yadav Prakash translates that as that the Brahman has his eyes red like the posteriors of a monkey. That the lotus eyes of the Lord have been compared with the posteriors of a monkey. time when Sripad Ramanujacharya was gently massaging Yadav Prakash's head with the oil. And as he heard that statement from Yadav Prakash, Sripad Ramanujacharya could not contain. His eyes becomes red and a hot tear drops on Yadav Prakash. Yadav Prakash says, "What's wrong? Why? What's happening to you? Did I say something which is incorrect?" And Sripad Ramanujacharya says that forbid me to give a different explanation, and he's so therefore tasyadit kapyasam. The word is not meaning is not given there, but I think kapi is monkey, asam is the posterior, and therefore in that way he split and said it to reflect the posterior of a monkey. Whereas Sripad Ramanujacharya, he said that kapya, that ka represents water and asam, which means he who drinks water. So he who drinks water is the sun. So the, under the influence of the sun, that the lotus flower blooms. So therefore, the eyes are compared to the lotus flower rather than the posterior of a monkey. So we can see that depending on one's own consciousness in one sense, and pure, dry scholarship knowledge can give totally a different meaning to the same set of lines. So we find that in Yadav Prakash and Sripad Ramanujacharya, the same line varies twice, two opposite meanings, one totally defining the beauty of the Lord, and other, it shows the you can say that even to an ordinary person, we don't say that your face looks like the posterior of a monkey. And here, you are trying to compare the lotus eyes of the Lord to such demeaning interpretation. But later on, same Yadav Prakash, because of the mercy of Lord Ranganathayani, he becomes a disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya, because Yadav Prakash's mother happens to be a devotee and she had good relationship with Sripad Ramanujacharya, and then she coaxes her son that you take shelter of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And he was, Yadav Prakash was not, he was thinking whether Ramanujacharya will ever accept him as a disciple, and he has committed such an offense in trying to kill Sripad Ramanujacharya. But he accepts him and he becomes his disciple. So what we are trying to learn from this, these two discussions, one discussion between Sarvam Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then again between Yadav Prakash and Sripad Ramanujacharya, we see that there is enough scope for confusion if one is not receiving the knowledge in a bona fide sampradaya. So that is important for us to understand, that we should receive the knowledge in a bona fide sampradaya, in an authorized manner, and that to a person who has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Then only we can understand the verses in the proper context. Otherwise, we will be totally misled. Coming back to the verse once again, we find the description of the Supreme Lord is given here. That around the neck of the man God hung a flower garland that reached to his knees. His eight stout and elongated arms were decorated with that garland. So in a particular form, the Lord has appeared with eight arms. Now that moon, we do not know what was the moon of the devotees there, that Lord has appeared with eight arms, but the commentary does not say that. But we find that the Lord always appears in a particular mood befitting that particular devotee's consciousness.
So, because that is part of a relationship. And this also is helpful for us in our own sadhana. We do our sadhana, and in our sadhana we find that we have to remember Krishna always. Our main process is chanting of Krishna's name. Constantly chant Krishna's name. And if you're chanting always Krishna's name, then how am I to remember the Lord's form? Because whenever I'm free, I'm asked to chant. And when I'm chanting, I'm only hearing Krishna's names. So where is the scope for me to contemplate, think on Krishna's form? So therefore, when I'm chanting, I should chant with the sense of relationship with the Lord. I should chant in the sense of relationship to the Lord. And that's a technique used by our acharyas. What do they do? They recite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita to invoke that particular mood prior to chanting the holy names. And here, so that this reciting, recitation of the verses, it quotes Krishna, Hare Krishna's name with a particular mood. It wraps up the chanting. And in that, we chant for the pleasure of the Lord. So, sometimes we say that, you recite the prayer like Dehino Sringyata Dehi, Majaya Dehi, Dehkarachin, that for the soul there is never birth or death. And when do we, these verses are recited? When my mind is highly disturbed, I want to bring back the focus in my chanting. So that the time when I recite these verses, so that my chanting should be above the material platform. Or we recite the prayer that Gopi Bhakta Paratamayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Or we think of the Lord's Dham, Chintamani, Vagrasa, Masa Kalpa Ruksha. Or the Lord's form, Veda, Manantamara, Vinda, Dalai, Tarshan. Or if the mind is disturbed, Dehino, Smeenata, Dehe, Kamana, Evranjara. So these are the verses we recite preceding our chanting, so that it is helpful when you are chanting in that relationship. I chant and therefore for the pleasure of the Lord. Because the chanting reveals the glory, the beauty of the verses. What is considered to be theoretical, then I realize in my chanting. And there are many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam which acharyas they recite before chanting. But out of them, three verses are at the pinnacle, at the top of all the verses. Anyone know those verses? The first verse is 10.14.1. I'll pick up the verse 10.14.1. This is Sri Brahma Uvacha. Now it's difficult to, so if you can't read the verse. Naumitya Debra Pakuseta Dip Ambaraya Gunja Vatamsa Paripichala Sanukhaya Vanye Saje Kavalaveta Vishana Venu Lakshma Siye Vidupada Kadek Pasupanga Jaya. So the translation, Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Person of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, your transcendental body
is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garments of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a hurdy stick, a buffalo horn and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. So this is 10.14.1. This verse was recited by Srivas Thakur after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals his nature in Srivas Thakur's house. And from there, the Harinam Sankirtan was inaugurated. Then you have the second verse, which is 10.21.5, 10th canto 21, chapter, verse number 5, where Lord Nityananda first time meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, Srivas Thakur recites this verse once again. This is Barha Pidanna Bhavara Vapu Karano Yakarni Karam Vibra Vasatanaka Kapisam Vaina Vijayam Timchamalam Randra Veno Tadar Sudaya Purayam Gopa Vunde Vrinda Ranyam Sopadat Ramanam Pravishat Gita Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and a vaijanti garment, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. So this is the verse which Lord Nityananda, because he was sitting at a corner in a very humble mood, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, Srivas Thakur recites this verse, then Nityananda Prabhu enters into Sunshi ecstasy. Then we also have the third verse, which is the gem. It's not every verse is from the gem, but our Raja is for these three verses. The third one is 10.23.22. This is Shyamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamalaya Vara Dhatu Pravalana Davesham Anavratamse Vinyasta Hasta Pitareha Dunana Abjam Karnot Palaka Kapalo Mukhabja Hasan. His complexion was dark blue and his garment golden. Wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower birds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves, he was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, and the other twirled a lotus. Lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. So this is the verse which changed the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was debating with everyone, and then he would argue, and the other person accepts it, then he would counter argue. And if the person accepts once again, he would counter the counter argument. So this is how he was showing his scholarship and talking to people. And this was happening in the marketplace. At that time, Acharya Ratna, an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recites this verse. And after hearing this verse, that was the last time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this college. He changed his mood. And there is the other three verses which comes in the Bhagavatam, devotees tend to recite before starting chanting to fix their mood and in the mood of service for the pleasure of the Lord. There is one verse which is from, I think, Sri Krishna Karanamritam by Vidyamohan Thakur. That has touched me because I heard this verse when I was a child. I think those of you from Andhra would have known this. Kasturi tilakam lalata palake vakshastale kaumstubam nasagre navamoktikam karatale venam kare kankanam sarvange harichandanam kalayam kande cha muktavali gopasri parivesito vijayate gopala chudamani vijayate gopala chudamani. So this is a verse by Vidyamohan Thakur where the Krishna is described as a chudamani. He is the gem among the gems. And how is this? The licorice is being explained that he is having beautiful tilakam on his face, lalata palake. Then vakshasthale, on his chest, he is having the kaumstubam jewel. And the nose, it is the nasagre, beautiful nose ring. Now, when karatale venam, he is holding the flute and playing the beautiful flute. Kare kankana, on the arms he is having the kankana. Sarvange harichandana, the entire body is smeared with chandana. Kandecha muktavali, that there is a necklace around his neck. And then he is sporting with the ladies, with his friends, and he is the chudamani, he is the germ among the gems. So all this description should help us understand our relationship with the Lord, and in that mode when we chant that for the pleasure of the Lord, and those by chanting at the moment it is theoretical for me, but when my chanting deepens in that relationship, it becomes practical because the Lord's name reveals the form, the personality, his pastimes, his paraphernalia. So the same chanting, before I start chanting, I recite this verse, and while chanting, my chanting is coated with this depth of understanding, and then when it deepens, they reveal to me these qualities or these characteristics or this personality of the Lord, of the form of the Lord. Yes, so we find that the summary that the Lord is a person. And there are inner verses in Vedic literature to take us away from that understanding. It's only the mercy of the devotees, mercy of the Lord, that we can come to the understanding that Lord is a person, and ultimately it is from the Lord's personality, his impersonal form, and Paramatma come. It's not the other way around. And before we chant, if we can recite these prayers, then that will be helpful to us in order to realize the personality of the form. Especially these prayers describe the form of the Lord, and that form, as we start chanting in that consciousness, then they reveal themselves. The Lord reveals to us that form, because Lord appears to the mood of a devotee. Whatever is the mood, like here we find that Lord has appeared with the 8 arms. So the acharyas do not comment what was the mood of them, but that must be the reason why Lord has appeared with 8 arms, with the beauty competing with Lakshmi Devi. Yeah, any comment or any question? But then you have to move upwards, because by thinking that I'm just a spirit soul is not enough, because it's not established in a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Understanding that I'm a spirit soul is the confidential knowledge which Krishna speaks on in 2.11, 2.13 Bhagavad Gita. But that is not really helpful to me as a spirit soul to establish my relationship till I come to the middle 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that I am part and parcel of Krishna. So only when I come to that relationship, that I am part and parcel of Krishna, then in that mood I can serve the Lord to please Him.
Yeah, the Prabhupada quotes these 2 verses because the reason, because they are both are glorification of the holy name directly in that form. So because why we had to chant, and he directly talks about our condition state and then taking shelter of the holy. So that's why Prabhupada quotes these 2 verses.
Yeah, thank you. Because I see these 3 verses Guru Maharaj quotes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, Guru.
Oh, no, no. those those verses you mentioned also but is there any specific acharya is kind of in relation to those three verses specifically or is this general?
Guru Maharaj quotes these three verses.
Yeah.
I've heard Guru Maharaj saying these three verses because of the context, in the sense that that has invoked, one is it has inaugurated the Sankirtan movement that is very dear to our sadhana or ISKCON itself. I think that's what one verse. And the other is that scholarship versus devotion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became, he has stopped displaying his scholarship after hearing that 10.23.22. So therefore, maybe it is a hint to us that you understand the Lord or the Lord reveals himself through the devotion rather than just having memorizing few verses here and there and reciting them mechanically. I'm not sure that this is what, because you're asking, I'm thinking that way. Otherwise, I'm quoting because Gurudev has quoted these three verses.
I was also analyzing a bit based on what our Gopal Vrindavan mentioned about the asking forgiveness for possible offenses. In our interaction with Krishna in his different forms, for example, most of us, we have the experience in the devotion. Always at the end, we also ask for forgiveness, and we recite the mantras for forgiveness. Conscious or unconscious offenses that we are in that interaction with that personal form of the Lord. So quite important to, in order to maintain our awareness of our condition and be humble as a good attitude in that interaction with the Lord. Just a comment as well.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu Mataji. You have any question, Mataji?
There are many pastimes. If you go to Tirupati, you have the pastime of Hathi Swami. There also, he used to play dice with Lord Balaji, Lord Vishnu, on a regular basis. And so one day Lord, that is after 5 o'clock in the evening, Lord Balaji would come to his cottage and they would play dice. And for some reason one day while playing the dice, suddenly he leaves hurriedly and in the process he loses his, diamond ring. And then the next day the pujari, as he was performing the arati, he saw that the Lord does not have the ring. Then he says, what's happened to the ring? And somehow they had a suspicion that this Swami would have taken it. And then he himself shows him the ring. Well, yesterday the Lord came to me. We were playing. Somehow he left hurriedly and his ring fell down here. And the devotee, the pujari said, what nonsense are you talking? That the Lord has come to your place, in your cottage, and he played dice with you. So they take him to the king, Krishnadeva Raya. That was the time he was the king there. And the king says that if that is true, prove yourself that really Lord appears in place with you. So he puts him in a cell full of sugar cane. That is, the whole prison is filled with the sugar cane. But next day morning, you should finish it off. If you can eat the entire, all the sugar cane, then it's a proof that yes, Lord has come and helped you in consuming the sugar cane. And he was expecting Lord to come to play dice with him, but the Lord doesn't turn up. And instead, from nowhere, an elephant appears. A huge elephant appears in the cell, and that elephant consumes the entire sugar cane. And the next day morning, the king soldiers, they come and see that all the sugar cane has been consumed. Then they understand that he is not an ordinary person, but is a devotee of the Lord, and he was made the head puchari to serve the Lord.
Who is this?
If you go to the Tirupati, in Tirupati you have that his name Hathi. Let me check.
Who was the context of all the question?
You must be the Hathi. The interaction with the God in a personal
way. Yeah, Hathi Ram Babaji, his name. He was a devotee from North India. So this incident took place around 1500 CE. So about 500 years back. So there are many pastimes, like Kanchipuram. He was the serving the Lord Varadaraja in Kanchipuram, that is Tamil Nadu, south of India. Every day he was talking to the Lord. So any problem anyone had, they would pose that problem to Kanchipuram. Kanchipuram would submit that question to the Lord, and Lord gives the answer, and the answer is given back to the devotee. So we find that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also used to have regularly was speaking to his deities. And I'm sure every devotee who does intimate service to their lordships, they can see the mood of their lordship, whether the Lord is happy with their service or the Lord is not happy. If a devotee says that it's not happening, I can't buy that. Well, out of humility, person may say that, well, no, it doesn't happen, but that's not true. A devotee who does intimate service, either in the altar, in the temple, or at home, they know whether the Lord is happy on that day or not, whether with their service. Yeah, there are many pastimes in here. Bhadrachalam, I don't know if anyone understood Bhadrachalam temple, that's a well known temple in Andhra Pradesh where Lord Ramchandra has appeared. The temple itself was constructed by Bhakta Ramdas. And Ramdas, he was then the in charge of the particular area. He collected in those days, some 200 years back, 600,000 gold coins, which was supposed to be the tax collected from the local area, instead of submitting to the king. At that time, I think Abdul Hasan Qutub Shah was the king. And instead of crediting to the treasury, he uses all that gold coin to construct Bhadrachalam temple. And then he was put in prison by the king, that you should return back that, till you return back that amount. He was in the prison for 12 years, I think, 12 or 14 years. And the prison is still there in Hyderabad, called Golconda Fort. So in Golconda Fort, if you go there, you can still find the room where Bhakta Ramdas was in prison. And was those 12 years, he was writing his prayers to the Lord. After all, I have constructed for you such a beautiful palace, a temple, and in return, you have given me this prison to stay. And the final day comes when the king says that now you are not able to return back money, so therefore he sends the order to execute him, to hang him. And that hanging was supposed to take place some 20 miles or 20 kilometers from where the king stays. But in the night time, two youngsters, they drive on their horses and they come to the king and deliver him the 6 lakh gold coins. He says, here are your gold coins, and release Bhakta Ramdas. So the king, he found that there was not enough time to send a message to the soldier. So So therefore the king himself rides on his horse or place just in time to see that Ram Das is not hanged. And the gold coins, if you go to Bhadrachalam temple, still the gold coins are there. And it is said that on the gold coin, there is the inscription of Lord Ramachandra. Even now the gold coins, if you go there, you can see the gold coins there. So that way there are many pastimes which tells us that the Lord is a person, is a personality. He reciprocates with the devotees. It's not an impersonal. But then one can understand that the Lord is a personality only with the mercy of the Lord or the mercy of the devotees, not others.